You're listening to Sensitive Changemakers. This podcast is created for highly sensitive leaders and is designed to support you to embrace your strengths and gifts so you can feel more confident in your own mind and body and live a life with intention, purpose, and more importantly, joy. I'm your host, Kate Carter, a fellow HSP who has a BA Honours degree in education, is a fully trained and qualified professional coach and NLP practitioner, and has over 17 years of teaching and over 3 years of coaching experience supporting highly sensitive people. I believe that you can do anything you want to in this life, but that sometimes the path forward becomes muddy with self-doubt and fear of failure. It's my mission to help sensitive thought leaders peel away the self-doubt and stories holding them back, for them to see their own beauty and strength, so they can increase self-confidence and self-trust through thought and embodiment work, and see their path clearly and move forward confidently, living their life with intention and purpose. I would love for you to come and join us. Hello, hello. I hope you are well. I hope your week is going well. Mine has been a really good week. Lots of different things going on, feeling quite energetic. I'm really, really very grateful for that. Just really highlighted to me how I had been feeling so lacking in energy for actually longer than I realized. So hopefully this is a change that's going to stick. And yeah, just starting going back to the gym this week. So we'll see how that goes. But just very, very grateful this week for feeling better, but also taking those actions and steps that have really allowed me to feel better and more energetic. So sending you lots and lots of hugs and love if you need that this week, because I've been there, I get it. So today I really wanted to bring my sessions into this conversation. So I absolutely adore my sessions. I am so, so grateful for every single one of them. And at the start, so we're talking back in 2019, 2020, when I first started giving out a lot of free sessions just to kind of build my skill, it was really scary doing those first couple of sessions and just the unknown of, am I going to be able to do this? Am I going to be able to do it well? And what I really noticed is just the act of being open to new lessons and growth and learning more and just sticking with it has been such an eye-opener. And I am in a place now where I feel really grounded in the work that I do. And the majority of the clients that come to work with me are looking for support with anxiety and or overwhelm. I do have a few clients who are processing trauma, so I am trauma-informed and we're kind of working through that together. And I have a few people who are looking to improve their confidence and self-esteem. And I do have a few people who are looking for something really specific. So there are certain neuro-linguistic programming techniques that people do specifically ask for, which is always a real kind of surprise, but in a lovely way. So I've had quite a few people ask if I do like the rewind technique, which can also be called the phobia technique. And that's been a really kind of popular one at the moment, looking at rewind technique. And I've loved doing those because those are kind of one-off sessions or maybe a couple of sessions, but they can be incredibly powerful just to kind of reframe something that's happened in your past. Anyway, I love my sessions. I know you can tell from the way I'm talking about it. But one of the things that's become really clear over the years that I've been doing this is how, for a better word, how good I am now at really seeing below the surface of what a client brings to me. So looking below what is actually coming out of their mouth to the type of words that they are using, the actual language they are using, which actually feels like, well, Kate, surely that's what they're saying. But actually somebody can be saying something and the meaning feels like it's one thing, but actually the language that they're using shows something else, shows something a bit deeper. And so it's that I can really focus on, looking at their body language, also looking at how they're describing their emotions and feelings. Again, that really kind of specificity in terms of the words that they are using. Words are incredibly powerful and they mean different things to different people. So how clients are bringing that into a session really highlights to me what's going on for them. And it's been so interesting to see that many of us, and I include myself here as well, really sensitive souls carry so much anxiety and so much worry that actually doesn't originally belong to us. So what do I kind of mean by this? I mean that it's something that happened in our past that originally didn't come from us. It might have been a concern or a worry from somebody else in our life at that time. It might have been a parent, a teacher, a family member, a friend, but somebody has introduced a worry or fear to us that we have then created a pattern, a habit around, and over time we have identified that anxiety as our own, but it actually originally didn't belong to us. And so this has been coming up quite a lot through client sessions. And to protect my clients, I'm going to share my personal story about how I have seen this play out for myself so that you can hopefully see it, your life and your experiences through a slightly different lens today and see if any of this applies to you. And if it does, hopefully it will support you to see things a little bit differently. So I remember my personal experience here is when I was a kid at about nine, I think I was about nine, maybe eight. I remember I can still vividly remember it. I was in my gran's house and I can even imagine where the chairs were, the TV was, the fireplace was. Like, it's that vivid in my memory, which shows it's a really kind of emotional memory because we do remember things more clearly, more vividly when there's an emotion attached to it. I'm not saying that it's accurate because we do tend to, the emotions that we felt at the time kind of does distort the memory slightly, but it's still an important memory for that individual, if that makes sense. So this was a really important memory for me. It's very vivid. And I remember on the TV, there was a boy that had been diagnosed with a brain tumor. And I just remember really empathizing at the time as a really young kid, how awful that must have felt for him, how scared he must have been feeling. And I got to the stage where it just wouldn't leave my head. And then I saw, as with most things, if you know anything about the RAS, the reticular activating system, once you've kind of bookended something as something really important, your brain will start seeing it everywhere. And so I started seeing this in other places as well. So brain tumors, one of the biggest things that kind of really triggered a panic attack for me when I was a kid. But it started off because of the empathy, because of how I could easily, so easily put myself into those people's minds and perspectives. And just, I was so scared for them, how awful that was. And over time, what happened was I took that anxiety and panic for myself. It became a pattern. It became something that every time that I saw somebody talk about or discuss a brain tumor, it became less about how awful it was for them and more about, oh my God, that would be awful. I have had a panic. If I had a brain tumor, what would happen? I would die, etc. So it became something that I then identified with. And over time, it became really debilitating. It became, so obviously mine was more health anxiety. It became something that kind of stretched out into other areas of my life. So it became anything to do with cancer. In the 80s, there was a lot of talk about AIDS. And so HIV and AIDS was in there too. And it just became really difficult to distinguish what was somebody else's and what was mine. And I had really taken on so many of those anxieties and worries. And over time, they became something that I identified with. So I am not saying by any shape, way, or form that I didn't have anxiety and panic attacks, because I absolutely did. But hopefully, you can see at the very, very start, it was because of empathy. It was because of what was going on around me and how I took that on, how I saw that. And it was That's why boundaries, I think, especially for sensitive people, are so important. But obviously, as an 8, 9-year-old, I had no idea how to do that. It's only since adulthood where I've actually been able to take a step back and look at things that I've been able to see a little bit clearer about what they were. And I always, the way that I dealt with it, and I always kind of talk through this with clients, is I saw it as layer work. So the first thing I really had to do was reduce the anxiety. And I'm really careful around the kind of language. It's anxiety I had, I wasn't anxious. So I kind of started to look again. I love words, but I started to separate myself from identifying as being an anxious person. So anxiety was something I had, I felt it wasn't something that was me. And that was a really important distinguish difference to make to start off with. So reducing that anxiety was one of my first layers. And I did that in my own kind of individual way. And if you want to know more about how I work with anxiety, please do let me know, because it is very individual for every single person. And I have different tools and techniques and ways of talking to clients that are so different depending on who that client is, because we all need something different. So anyway, that first layer was actually just reducing the anxiety. Once I had reduced that, there were things left over that I hadn't been able to see for so long because the anxiety was masking it. And what I mean by that is the anxiety and the worries consumed so much of my time, energy, that once that had gone and the panic attacks had gone, because I permanently have got rid of panic attacks, I haven't had a panic attack now in 7 years. Once that had gone, it was actually really interesting to see what was left underneath. One of the biggest things was actually rebuilding my identity after saying goodbye to that anxiety. Because one of the scary parts is because most of us, we really do identify with that anxiety, even if it wasn't ours to start off with. Like I just said, we make it ours over time. And one of the scary bits is if we permanently say goodbye to that, who are we? What's left over? What's the identity? Who are we? It's that kind of fear of. And most of us, you know, really do find that tough. And so, one of the things that I worked on, and again, this is just one part of it, there's always so many more pieces to the puzzle. But one of the work bits that I had to really work on was looking at intuition and gut feeling and really tapping into what was true for me. Because what I'd been doing for so long is I had intuition, I had gut feelings, but I kind of pushed them away for so long because I had prioritized listening to that anxious voice. That was the main thing that I did every single day. The first thing I thought of, most of the thoughts during my day and in the evening, going to bed. And that is completely, again, completely normal. We are wired to find the negative. It's a self-protection mechanism and it is totally normal. And we do have thousands and thousands and thousands of thoughts a day. Most of those thoughts are the same. It's really interesting when you look at the science behind it. Most of those thoughts are the same. And so we do need to kind of pattern interrupt so that we can put new thoughts in, so we can think different thoughts, so we can think outside the box. And like I said, one of these was actually looking at my true voice and what that voice was saying that was really deep down inside me. A voice that I hadn't listened to for a long time. A voice that I had ignored for a long time. That was actually my truth. That was my voice. And I hadn't been listening to it very long time. And I remember somebody saying, "What do you think about intuition?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't know." I'd got at this point, I hadn't got any panic attacks and anxiety anymore. And I was like, I don't know what my intuition is. I don't know what my gut feeling is, because I hadn't listened to it for so long. Even if it was there, I wouldn't know what it sounded like anyway. And so one of those things was starting to tap into it. And over the years, what I can take from it, my personal take on it, is that your intuition and gut feeling is not fear-based. There isn't a worry that goes alongside it. It's just a knowing. Like it's an unemotional just knowing. It's a deep knowing. And I've used this for myself and with clients. And it's about just spending time sitting with it and knowing what that feels like for you. And it's still something I practice to this day. It's still something that I kind of spend time just listening to. But it's what I start to see with clients. One of the things that's really clear when I'm working with a client is I can tell quite quickly if the anxiety that they're bringing to the session is actually originally theirs or not. And I can tell by some of the language that they use. So if they start talking about, I know, I've just got a knowing, this is right. If they start talking using that kind of language, I can kind of separate the two bits. Like you're saying that this anxiety is here for you, but on the other hand, you're saying, I know, this is a very deep knowing. And it's actually trying to understand that deeper knowing and what that is trying to say for you. And mine used to say to me, so if I used to sit with that voice, mine used to say to me, you know that you're okay. You know that you're really strong. You know this is for you. You just know. And actually listening to that more and more, that voice became a little bit stronger and a little bit louder. But again, for me personally, I'm quite slow, slow at just taking things on. So that took me a number of years. It doesn't have to take years for you. I've seen it happen in weeks for some people, but for me, that was a long process. And remember, I had anxiety and panic attacks for a long, long time. So I'd spent like over 20 years, if not longer, covering up this knowing, this intuition, this gut feeling. And so it took me a while to trust it again, to kind of listen to it, to allow that voice to come up. So yes, that's kind of how I spot it in clients. And it's been so interesting just to see how important that distinction is for people who come into clients, into sessions, and just knowing the difference between anxiety that is truly in and absolutely yours, and anxiety that actually originated as somebody else's. And this can be passed over in generations as well, which we haven't really covered, but it absolutely can. So if mum, dad, grandparents, brothers, sisters who are older, if they were worried about something, it is absolutely normal for you to have that same pattern, unless you get to a stage where you kind of awaken from the fact that you know that you're following somebody else's patterns and you can see for what it is. We just generally just keep following those patterns. And so this, again, completely and utterly normal, but it's just if you want to kind of shift that anxiety permanently, it's always a good idea to work with somebody like myself or, an anxiety coach or a therapist to kind of mirror those that back to you. Because when absolutely every single time this happens in sessions, it's always an aha moment for them. And they can finally put the pieces together. It's like a light bulb goes off for them. And I see it every single time. And inevitably, it always makes me smile because it's always the sessions where I have my client reach out to me after, either through a message or an email, and say, this made so much sense. Something really clicked for me today. I can see this clearly. It's always like that clicking into place where they can suddenly see, oh my God, that actually wasn't mine to start off with. I've made it mine, but it wasn't mine to begin with. And then we can start to actually look at different ways that we can permanently release that anxiety and start to create and embed some different habits and thought processes to support you in moving forward. Because I know that if you're listening to this, you have really big goals and big dreams for yourself. And if you feel like anxiety or overwhelm is holding you back, then I really invite you to explore if it was even yours to begin with. And if you are listening to this thinking, well, that's all well and good, Kate, but I have no idea where to start in anything you're talking about, then please do reach out. You can schedule a connect and chat, which is in the show notes, and we can just chat through what it would look like to work together, because I would really love to support you in permanently releasing any anxiety or panic attacks you have. And I know that it can be done from personal experience and from working with so many different clients now through this. I know that it is possible for you. So I'm sending you so much love. And just you have all of my hugs this week. I hope everything is going well for you. And if not, Like I said, take the hugs, take the love. And I will be back next week with another episode. Okay, sending you love. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. If you have any takeaways or any questions, please do reach out to me either through Instagram, LinkedIn, or Facebook at Kate Carter Coaching, or you can email me at kate@katecarter.co.uk. I always love to hear your feedback and the things that you have taken from the podcast. If you know of any other highly sensitive people, then please do share this so that I can reach more and support more highly sensitive people to embrace their strengths and gifts. As a thank you, I will pick a winner every month for a free 50-minute coaching session with me. Thank you so, so much.